Sunday, we've been back in 2025. Amen. So we just glad to be here, glad to be in God's favor. Amen. And so we're going to just praise him today because he brought us into another year. Amen. So I'm going to ask Deacon Brown if she'll come on to the podium. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Praise, praise, praise.
Yes.
Pastor said yesterday, he said, this will be our first Sunday back for the new year. And everyone knows it's just January, and it's so much that didn't happen in January. I mean, enough for really the year, right? But I was going over some scriptures to bring to you all this morning, last night, but I couldn't just stick to one scripture. And I said, Lord, help me. Give me something to feed my people on praise. And if anybody know, Pastor been giving us things to study and read and learn about the importance of worship and praise. And if anybody, no, y'all see me, I love to praise the Lord. I do. I know sometimes Terrell get tired in the car because I just love to praise the Lord. And it shouldn't be this when we walk in here.
Turn me down just a
little. Praise should continually be in your mouth. And so while I was going through scripture, Pastor, it might take me just a little bit. I'm not going to go too long, but this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. And I was reading and something popped up on my phone. And I don't know if anybody know anything about the Gleaner papers or whatever it's called, the Gleaner. And it was a lady named, let me get her because I got to give her respect, that wrote it, named Edna A.P. Davidson. And it was on praise. And as I got to reading, and I can't read everything, but as I got to reading it, I said, Father, thank you. And it was titled, The Power of Praise. And it starts off, I'm gonna skip some things. It said, praise is the expression of approval and adoration. When we praise, we glorify, we worship, we celebrate, we exalt, and we bless someone or something. The question is, when we praise, to whom are we directing our praise? So when we come in here, our praise is to God. And I know sometimes I prompt you and say, everybody, please stand up and worship with us. Everybody, please give Lord God some praise. But that's something we shouldn't have to do. We shouldn't have to do that. We should come in here, like I come in here, I don't know if y'all, I'll be like, hey, everybody, how y'all doing today? It's something about when I get here, even if I'm at home and I'm hollering like, Terrell, come on, Terrell. You know, or, you know, doing, you know, just rushing for some reason. But it's something about when I get in the house of worship. And I'm about to let loose right now. The smoke that shouldn't have no reason not to come in here and praise the Lord. We should have no reason to have somebody to prompt you, to ask you to lift your hands and glorify God. It should be done because he's worthy. He's worthy of all the praise and glory. So, at the end of this article, because it was several scriptures, at the end of it, I said, that's when I said, yes, Lord, I got to give some of this. Thank you, Jesus. It said, so, why should we praise? We should praise because we know the end of the story. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. Sorry, y'all, these glasses, I'm like slipping and water in my eyes. As a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And that's Revelation 21, 1 through 4. So, why should we praise? Why should we praise? Because of everything he's done, have done, and will do. So hopefully this year, 2025, I shouldn't have to prompt, pastor shouldn't have to turn around. Everybody should be up on their feet. Everybody. Those that can't, lift your cane. Clap your hands. But God is so worthy of all our praise. So worthy. So every praise is to our God. Everyone knows this song. So please join in with us. Thank you. my God. Yeah, glory, hallelujah. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Good morning to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Deacon Loretta already told you that every praise is to our God. And I often like to come before you and tell you that this should not be a quiet church. If every praise is to our God, you shouldn't be quiet about it. And in case you don't recall and you forget, you don't have to think any further than you getting up out of the bed this morning, clothed in your right mind, and able to put one foot in front of another. And when you look around and see that all is fairly well, every praise is to our God. You have the presence of your family, friends, and loved ones. And even by God's divine providence and intervention, if you have someone that is no longer in our physical presence, the Lord in His infinite wisdom has called him to eternal rest. That's something to praise and thank God. So as we come before you going into our communion service, a scripture coming from 1 Peter starts to read that he committed no sin, nor was any deceit ever found in his mouth. While being reviled and insulted, he did not revile or insult in return. While suffering, he made no threats of vengeance, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willing offering himself on it, as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and the power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. And before we go into our communion, the scriptures are always relevant. It says, "For I have received from the Lord himself that which I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This represents my body, which is offered as a sacrifice for you.'" And then I'll move down to another verse which says, "Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are symbolically proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again." And then a condition. "So whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." But it also goes on to say a person must prayerfully examine himself and his relationship to Christ. And only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who drinks without solemn reverence and heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifice of Christ eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ. It is this reason why many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep in death. God's word for God's people. When Jesus and his disciples sat together, he took the bread when he had blessed us, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together." Blood in the new, and in the like manner, when he had taken the cup, blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you drink it, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. Amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. Ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in at this time. Come on down to the altar. If you so choose, and join us in corporate prayer. We thank God for another opportunity. One that he did not have to present before us. But he's good like that. And the least we can do is bow down in humble submission and recognize that he's God and God all by himself. Lord God, we come before you with thanks and gratitude for one more day. We live from last week to this week by the power of your grace and your mercy that kept us. Our physical failed bodies did not fail us, but stood strong because you commanded it to do so for one more minute, one more second, one more hour. And Lord, you instilled in our hearts and minds that, Lord, I didn't do this on my own. That you showed and kept me in your favor for one more day. Lord, we didn't deserve it because we have not always obeyed your commandments. But thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. You're good like that, that you don't hold it against us. But Lord, now that you are molding us, shaping us, and revealing to us a little bit more of your image, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask that you would hear our humble cries and let us know, Lord, that and cling to and lean on and depend on the fact that and the promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. Things are not always going to be well. But Lord, we can thank you that every trial, every mountain high, every valley low, you're right there with us. Lord, you kept us through treacherous seasons. When there are those that are going through right now, Lord, raging fires, floods, all acts of nature discords seems to be breaking loose. Destruction on every hand. But Lord, you are under control. You allow these things permission to only the boundaries that you have set forth. Your word, your faithfulness says, Lord, this can happen, but no further. This can happen, but this shoot shall pass. Behold, he's making things brand new. So Lord, we just ask for continued grace. Thank you for renewed minds and the right spirit. Lord, we pray that you would keep doing what you're doing, because that's best for us. So you get the blessing, you get the honor. We glorify you, and we will thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you, brothers and sisters, an evidence of his grace when you can sing that song, going through trials and tribulations with tear-stained eyes, when you don't get what you might expect, when disappointment is on every hand, but you can still say, yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord. We would now ask the ushers to assemble themselves as we prepare to serve our Lord in our giving. We're going to revisit this procedure that was done some time ago, whereas the ushers will be coming around to collect your tithes and offering. We ask God to bless these gifts. We can't beat God giving, but if it's placed on your heart to obey, just trust in God, for he will make a way. And you all shouldn't take my word for begging, but I'm telling you that it's in the scripture how to be obedient in your giving. The scripture from Luke's, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse, it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. For what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. God's promise. obeying God's word.
Good morning. We're going to take it back, and we're going to sing a hymn on page 211, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, because that's exactly what we're doing. Would you please stand and sing with us? Page 211 in your hymn books, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a blessedness. What a peace of mind. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Secure from all alone. Leaning.
Leaning on the everlasting.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Secure
from all alone.
Leaning.
Leaning on the everlasting.
What have I to dread?
What have I to fear?
On the Everlasting Arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Thank you.
by. Jesus walked by my side. Both day and night. Jesus walked by my side. Both day and night. Jesus walked by my side. Both day and night. Yes, I know a man.
All right. All right. Yeah. Don't you know the man?
Hallelujah. Does anybody in here know he'll walk by your side? Both day and night. All right. Y'all give me a minute. I got to catch my breath. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And you know, before I get into the prayer, what's so beautiful about it is that he's walking with you when you don't know he's walking with you. How many of you have ever been in situations and when you came out on the other side, you found out that God was walking with you through the situation? Huh? Amen. God, our Father, we thank you for this time. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, everybody. Thank everybody. Thank y'all for coming to worship today in 12-degree weather. I told my wife when I left, I said, well, we ain't going to see many people today. Yes, Lord, but the Lord blessed us to come out and give him some praise. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke. And then John 10. I know a man. What'd you say? I don't know about you, but I know he walks by my side. Is that right, Deacon Davis? And he don't take no time off, Lucius, Deacon Lou. He don't take no time off. He with me all day, and he with me all night. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, y'all. Luke 19. We're still trying to get a biblical sense of why Jesus came. What we're doing, we're taking it from what Jesus said and not what other folk have said. Amen. Yeah, that's all. You go on praising. You know what he did for you? You don't want no rocks crying out for you. All right. Yeah, you praise him. Don't mind me, child. Now I done forgot where I'm going. Where I'm going? Luke 19. All right, y'all, let's start at verse number 8. I'm going to read these three verses. Verse number 8. You all right, Minister McFarland? You okay? Oh, okay, okay. You finna take off running or something? She said, oh, no, no. Verse 8, so then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord,
The half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor. And I have cheated anyone out of, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today is messianic spiritual salvation. Come to all the members of this household. Since Zacchaeus, too, is a real spiritual son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Stop right there. Now, two things. First thing I need to do is speak to the men, husbands, fathers first. All right. Any men out there? Hello, y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all supposed to do like y'all at a concert. Come on, I need to be hearing some brothers up in here. God is showing you that he will bless your family if you submit to him. Head of the house. When the head submits and gets blessed, the whole body. It ain't about somebody bringing you your food. That's well and good. I'm not about that. But that ain't what head of the house means. Head of the house is that that is the one leading the house to God. That's the one. And the Lord blesses the house if the husband submits. That's why the scripture says, I think it's in Timothy, ain't it, Lizette, said that God will not hear the prayers of a husband if he is mistreating his family. Ain't that in Timothy? Amen. She said, amen, yes. Okay, but that's scripture. That's part of what we learned. That's scripture. So that's why, just like the under-shepherd is responsible for making sure that the sheep are taught. And while God can punish the sheep if the under-shepherd is crooked, which is why God said, when something ain't looking right, leave. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why the Bible, are y'all getting this? That's why the Bible says the one I appointed there, if that individual is walking contrary to my word, I ain't ask you to fight nobody. I told you to pack your bags and leave. You ain't got to talk about him or her. Pack your bags and go. Because I'm going to hold. Is this scripture? This is scripture. Deacon Frank, this scripture, Deacon Frank. I'm going to hold you accountable for staying there. To the church, Laodicea, and to other churches in Revelation, the Lord said, no, what I got against you is that you sit up under it. And you know it's wrong. Therefore, I'm going to put you in the same bed I put them. Well, this my church. I was brought up here. I was raised here. Ain't nobody gonna make me leave my church. First thing is, your whole perception is wrong. Ain't never been your church. Ain't your church. And if you have more loyalty to a place than the head of the church, something is wrong. You're supposed to be following Christ, not Wendell Bonner. You're supposed to be following Christ, not the church you grew up in. When you grow up, you can't wear the same shoes. Are y'all hearing me? You know what I'm saying? You can't be a size 10 still trying to fit in a size 6. And you got to be mature enough to know when you've outgrown something. And you have got to stop caring what other folk think. So that just society was saying specifically that Jesus said, I didn't come for the ones who think they right. I came for the ones who know they need help. Anybody in here need help? That's what Jesus said. Now, why is that important? Because when you think you don't need help, then that lets us know you sitting on the pedestal of pride. And the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. Y'all here with me? And see, when you are at that place, something else you may not realize, this wasn't part of my what I had lined out. But if y'all don't mind, y'all go to Proverbs. What'd she say? Oh, okay. I thought you were speaking in tongues back there. I was like, I don't know what she's saying. Y'all go to Proverbs. Thank you, Deacon McCall. Y'all go to Proverbs. Proverbs right quick. Who was that? Oh, is that Deacon Bill? Oh, okay. All right. That's right. Thank you. They said, let the Spirit lead me. I'm gonna do that, y'all. Y'all at Proverbs 8? Good. Go back to Proverbs 6. I'm good. No, number one, you ain't good. Now, I know you talking about, I'm all right, I'm tight. No, you ain't tight. One of the biggest things we got to fight against is self-delusion. Self-delusion. And the reason you got to keep saying it is because you know deep down it ain't true. Y'all at 16? These six things the Lord loves. Did it say the Lord what?
Hates.
Indeed, seven are and what? Look at the first one, a proud look. The spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. Overestimates himself, underestimates others. So you think you better than somebody. Ain't y'all glad Simon back? Overestimating yourself is your biggest fight. And we overestimate ourselves when we tend to try to compare ourselves with others. And you think, compared to them, you good. Now, what if you had compared yourself to Diddy? I'm just telling you what's in the news. But look, what if you compared yourself to him? I want to be like him. I want to be a mogul. And all of this stuff was going on. That's why you don't compare yourself to somebody else. You don't know what's behind the door. We were just talking about that. Where Mike at? We were just talking about that yesterday, wasn't we? And yeah, it didn't call. We were just, Y'all see Dr. Joe? I was coming to him. He was like, oh, no. But the thing is, with that, that's why you don't have to. And that's the thing about it. You have to stop your mind from playing that trick on you. You are not as well off as you think you think. That's why the Bible says, beware when you think you're standing, because you will fall. I'm respectable. I got this business. I got everything. I got Who got? What did Nebuchadnezzar say? He said, I got this kingdom. I got all of this stuff around me. And God said, okay, I'm going to show you who got it. I ain't going to take it away from you. I'm going to make you think you a cow. And I'm going to lead a kingdom. Because I want you to see I can pull you out of the equation and still keep it going. Because you ain't never had nothing. Rich man came to Jesus and said, I got all these riches, all these barns, all these things. And Jesus said, okay, what you gonna do with them tonight? What you talking about, Jesus? Oh, you dying tonight. You dying tonight. Then who gonna get it? If it's yours, take it with you. And if you are all of that, why are you going to have to stand in front of me? And when you stand in front of Christ, I saw this question yesterday that was so powerful. The question was, it was a question that was really powerful. The question said, what would you say to Jesus if he came down in front of you and asked you, why should I let you into my kingdom? Why should I let you in? You can't claim merit. Because if you claim merit, well, look at all I've done. No. You didn't do nothing. You wouldn't have sense enough to know your name if I didn't give it to you every morning. Well, look at all of these things I've done. With whose energy? I smart with whose brain? Remember when Daddy came and did his last time he did a teaching here, Deacon Smith? And the last time he did a teaching here, he had a theme. What do you have that you have not been given? Your breath, your life, your little job that keeps you so busy you can't worship. Well, I got to work. I got to work. I got to make this money. It don't take but a minute for the Lord to look away and you wind up paralyzed in a bed. How you going to make money then? No, I know you lying. You just don't want to come. You make time for everything else. I should probably quit right now, shouldn't I? You make time for everybody else. That's why I don't be telling people, you know, you ought to come to church. I ain't, oh, no. What did Deacon Brown just get through telling you? She told you, look, if it ain't in you, I can't make you want something you don't want. And when you talk about faking it till you make it, you can only fake it so long. Because God ain't going to be made a fool out of. But always remember what the Bible says. Whatsoever a man soweth, oh, it's coming back. Come on, y'all. Let's go to John 10. So the Lord came to save those who are lost. We're going to get more in depth into that later. But right now, John 10, y'all, that'd be my last one for the day. I got a little time here because the Chiefs played yesterday, so. So I think Deacon Washington going to give me a little time. I got a little time, Deacon Washington. Huh? Okay, all right. Take as long as I want. That's what you said? Yeah, since the Chiefs won. All right, let's start at verse number 1. And when we get through this pericope, we're going to debunk some myths. All right, we're going to debunk some myths. Verse number 1. I assure you most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the what? Door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way elsewhere, from some other corner, is a thief and a what? But he who enters by the door is the what? Shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings them out. Stop. Remember John 6:44 said, no man can come to Jesus unless God calls them. What you gonna find out when you leave this body is that he called you by your name. Your name ain't Fanny. The Bible tells us in Revelation, we have a name in heaven. My name is Wendell. As long as I'm here. But I had a name before I got here. And he called me by that name. So when I came to Jesus, it wasn't because he called me Wendell. He called me my real name, which the Bible says I'm going to learn when I get back. With your names, you know, just chill out. Just chill out. You ain't got to go to the DMV, get it changed, and then get it changed to some name you don't even know how to pronounce. And stuff like that. Me and my wife had this joke. We had this guy at our friends. Had this long, you know, really. I guess it was a Sudanese name. Sudanese name, you know. And we looking at him like, say, you know his name, Lee. So the thing is, you have another name. You have the name you were named before you got here. And the Lord's going to give you that name when you get back to heaven. And you will find out that's the name he called you by. Y'all here with me? So that's why sometimes when people ask me my name, if I just want to mess with them, Bro Terry, if people ask me my name, I say, I don't know. You mean you 60-something years old and you don't? I don't know. I don't know. I know what they called me when I got here. And I didn't know till somebody was teaching me that my name, Wendell, meant messenger of truth. I didn't know that. The thing is, I don't know my real name. I don't know my real name. I'm going to know it. Now, my spirit knows it, but my mind does not. Because my mind is not spiritual. And I was spiritual before I became physical. Remember, he chose me and he chose you before he created the world. You cannot choose what is not there. Oh, Lord have mercy. I wish I was talking to somebody up in here. You can't choose what ain't there. So if he chose me before he created this world, which is about what, Deacon Lou, about 4 billion years old? At least, 4 billion. 4 billion. That's why I tell you two things you don't know. You don't know your age and you don't know your name. You just know how long you've been here. Y'all here with me? You was here before the ETs. You know the little gray man, the little gray man. Amen. I don't know if I believe. Anyway, that's another story. But look here. This thing is, you have to understand, this is who you are. That's why the Bible says when a person leaves this earth, if they belong to Christ, they ain't going to paradise. They're going home. Home is where you've been before. Is anybody listening to me? Yeah. Home is where you've been before, Gerald. Home is where you've been before. That's why the Lord said, I've taken away the fear of death because I revealed to you where you're going. And I revealed to you that I am the way to get there. Not only did I reveal that, I got rid of all of the obstacles that could keep you from getting there. And then I didn't even require you to do everything that you thought you needed to do in order to get there. I just gave it to you as a gift. Why did I give it to you as a gift? Because I chose you. I chose you. You ain't got to hustle to get here. You ain't got to join every ministry to get here. Don't join the ushers if you can't stand up. I would say you can join. Yeah, you can join the choir if you can't sing. We have enough folk to cover you up. Don't worry about it. But the thing is, don't do all. Don't be trying. And don't try to impress people. Stop trying to make people think you righteous. Number one, it ain't none of their business. Number two, they don't define righteousness. Number three, Jesus already declared you righteous. And when you come in, you ain't coming to their church. You coming to his church. Are y'all here with me? People say, you need to do this. If you join, you need to join this. You need. No, what I need to do is sit down and wait for the head of the church to tell me what to do. Because maybe he just wants me to sit and learn for a while. All right, y'all, let's keep reading. I'm going to be through here in a minute. I ain't keeping y'all too long, am I? Whoever said, yeah, ushers, escort them out right now. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I'm just playing with y'all. I'm just playing with y'all. Look here, y'all. Verse number 3. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and brings and leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, y'all know the shepherd is Christ, right? They will never on any account follow a stranger. That's why when you hear something that ain't right, something in you lets you know. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Something in you will let you know. Nah, I know he a bishop, but I don't. Something ain't right. One of the ways you can prevent that is to look at the whole counsel of God, Old and New Testament, which is why the Lord moved me to stop preparing sermons and start preaching the word. Y'all hear me? So look, keep reading, y'all. Verse 6, Jesus used this parable and this illustration with them, but they did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that I myself am the door for who? The sheep. The sheep. All others who came as such before me are what? Thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. Stop. He ain't talking about the devil. He's talking about false prophets. Listen to what I'm saying. He's talking about false prophets. That's why when you read something in scripture, you got to read the whole context. Now, why are we debunking a myth? Keep reading. I am the door. Verse 9. Y'all see that?
Yes.
I am the door, which means you don't come unless you come through me. Anyone who enters in through me will be what? Saved and will live. He will come in, he will go out freely, and he will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Stop. The thief, he ain't talking about the devil. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about false prophets. So when people come to you and say, yeah, well, you know the devil come to steal, that ain't who he was talking about. That's why you got to read it for yourself. He's talking about false prophets who want to do one thing, get your money, get your mind, and get anything else they can from you. They come to steal. They come to kill. And they come to what? Destroy. He was not talking about the devil. Y'all here?
Yes.
Keep reading, y'all. The thief comes, let me do 10 again. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy what? And have it in what?
Abundance.
To the full, till it overflows. I am the what? Good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the world. For everybody. Y'all here? But the hired servant, he who merely serves for money, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he deserts the flock, runs away, and the wolf chases and snatches them and scatters the flock. Don't know doctrine, you don't know truth, and when you don't know those things, you're headed for destruction. Their job is not to teach you who owns the church. Their job is not to teach you who you are obligated to. Their job is to make you happy with all of the pleasures of this world and keep you from the spiritual truths of salvation. Y'all hear? Now you say, he said, I came that you might have what?
Life.
Say it again, that you might have what?
Life.
Now he also explains what life is. Y'all got time for one more?
Yes.
John 17. And see, when you read scriptures that talk about the different gifts in the church, that's why you don't have to worry about, you don't have to be talking about people who leading people astray. You ain't got to be doing all that. The Lord said he got a special place in hell for them. Because see, they messing with his people. And Proverbs says, because someone has not been punished immediately, they think they've gotten away. Come on, y'all. John 17, verse number 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all. That he may give eternal life to who? All that what? You have given him. And this is eternal life. Verse 3. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with, and understand you. The only true and real God. And likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Life more abundantly is an increasing knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. It ain't more cars. God ain't going to give you something you can't take with you when you go home. Now, he'll give you what you need to survive. He'll give you what you need to even have a few things you want. He's a kind father. But he says, don't be misled. I'm giving you these things as a gift. Don't make them your purpose. See, no matter how much money I give you, it does not matter if he does not wake you up. No matter how much money I give you, it does not matter if he does not give you sense enough to know what money is. No matter how much money I give you, and this is my last one, money can't buy peace. That's why he said, I came to give you the real stuff. Y'all here? Okay, I'm through. I came that you might have life. I came to seek and save, not those who think they got it together. I came for those who know they need some help. Bow your heads. God, our Father, we thank you for continuing to teach us the truth of your word. We thank you for giving us hearts to receive, minds to understand, spirits to comprehend. Now there might be somebody who has not to this point accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're being moved to do so, understand it's because he's calling you by your real name. You don't understand it. You can't fathom it, but that's all right. You just answer the call. He'll take care of the rest. All you need to do is say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. And after that, Lord, fill me with your spirit so that I can come to know you more and want to know you more. I want you like you want me. There's someone who wants to join this fellowship. In front of you are cards. I think they pink, brown, something. Take one of the cards, fill it out front and back, and on your way out, there's a box in the vestibule. Put the card in the box, and members of the membership intake team will be in touch with you, and it would be a pleasure to love you with the love of Jesus Christ as all of us grow up in him. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It is in the name of Jesus in Greek, his name Yeshua in Hebrew, that we pray. Let every heart give God a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And tell him, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Put your hands together. Give God some praise. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.